Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Sol by Con Riley. Narrated by Cornell Collins. Chapter 1. Sol lowered his paintbrush after midnight and glanced over his shoulder. What was that? The art studio was empty, almost derelict, like the rest of this old building. Cavernous with only one lamp battling its shadows. The light flickered, and in the wall of glass beside his easel, Sol saw his own reflection, listening with his ear cocked. Nothing. Trees crowded on the far side of the glass as if ready to reclaim the building, steal it from the boarding school it belonged to and return it to nature. Ivy had already found ways to creep in. Sol nudged a leaf with his paintbrush, its tip the same deep green that bordered the portrait he worked on. There's still something missing. From his smile, maybe? Oh, I should scrap it and start over. Another sound cracked the shell of silence he always worked his best in. An owl's hoot, maybe. He'd seen plenty swoop past in the year and a half he'd lived here. Bats, too, darting between this gothic structure and the tree line at twilight. They'd flitted past the glass when he'd started to paint that evening, Sol making the most of being alone before the school year started. In a few days he'd be surrounded by people from breakfast time to dinner, crammed into a classroom too small for his students' clamour. But for now, here in a studio the rest of the world had forgotten. He could paint until dawn if he wanted. I might need to pull a few all-nighters to get this done in time for Marissa's birthday. He stood back and studied a portrait that should already be finished. His nephew, Cameron, smiled out from the canvas. But Sol didn't return his grin. Couldn't. Not while something about his smile wasn't convincing. Cameron's eyes were right, he decided, ink dark like his own, if a touch less shadowed. Does his smile need revision? Cameron hadn't given him much to work with lately. Moody, 15, and pushing every boundary. Sol came back to his easel and flipped the painting, checking proportions. But whatever was wrong still didn't jump out. He tilted his head to reconsider. And something in his neck clicked. The crack, gunshot loud in a space it still felt strange to be alone in. I should be glad that Cameron's moved out to live with the boarding students again. Telling himself that didn't make being alone again any easier after a long summer together. Silly, perhaps, given Cameron was only at the bottom of the hill, not in another country. But habits Sol had formed since becoming his guardian were hard to shake off. I'll check my phone, that sound might have been him calling. He turned out the lamp, plunging a studio that hadn't housed students for decades into darkness until his eyes adjusted. Moonlight spilled in, leaving his painting silvered. Now Cameron looked like Marissa. Sol studied his sister's face. Not his nephew's. Her eyes alive with humour. Smile hinting that she would tease him at any moment. He turned away, his heart clenching, and hurried upstairs. The steps up to his staff flat creaked, and the sound of water dripping echoed. But as he opened the door to his flat, all he heard was silence. He scooped his phone up from where it charged, seeing a missed call, but not from his nephew. Austin. What did his ex want after more than a year of zero contact? He headed for his bedroom, switching on a light that flickered like his lamp downstairs had, and discarded his phone on the bedside table. Better that than return a call which at this time of night might be a wine-inspired reprise of what-ifs. It rang again almost as soon as he started to undress. His shirt partially unbuttoned as he answered. Yes? Austin didn't answer right away, prompting a stab of remorse for gruffness that should have lessened by now. Sol asked another, gentler question. You okay, Os?
Yes.
Austin's voice was familiar, brittle in a way he'd only noticed after bringing Cameron home to live with them. Can you talk?
What about?
Again, Austin didn't answer. The pause longer this time before he sighed.
That sound gave Sol flashbacks. He closed his eyes and saw Austin picking through the debris that living with a teen had scattered.
Not saying that he hated the invasion, unless their bedroom door had been closed, but showing it plenty.
Listen, Oz, Sol started, but Austin found his voice.
It's your sister's birthday at the end of the month, isn't it? Sol sat on the edge of the bed.
How? I got a calendar reminder. Of course he had. Austin's whole life was scheduled. Had been since they'd met in their last year of uni.
Every minute timetabled for career progression,
leaving no room for a surprise live-in nephew. It made me think that it was time I got back in touch with you.
Austin didn't exactly sigh again, but his tone caught Sol's attention. Not brittle now, but somehow fragile.
Video call? He asked. I'm not calling to pick up where we left off, but it would be good to see you.
Seconds later, Austin filled Sol's phone screen, his shirt partially unbuttoned as well. He'd loosened his tie, and his fair hair was tousled instead of neat for once.
Hi, he said.
And for a moment, a smile Sol used to wake up next to flickered like the light bulb above him.
Hi.
Sol swallowed around a lump of something he'd almost forgotten. Regret at how they'd ended?
No.
It had been better to find out they hadn't been cut out for the long haul at the first bump they'd hit in the road.
How can you look thinner, Oz?
He finally managed to ask.
There was nothing of you to start with.
Austin's weak smile strengthened. I got a new job. Tons of presentations, he said with relish. Meeting lots of new people. The thought made Sol's insular skin crawl. Too busy to eat most days.
That's not a good thing.
And another new job? What happened to the one in Cheltenham?
That had been Austin's get-out-of-jail card. His reason to leave them both in London right when Cameron had needed a steady presence.
I've been headhunted. That's the reason I'm calling. Austin's voice switched back to brittle. I've been to dinner with my new boss tonight. He told me a few things. He pulled his tie all the way off, his shirt collar shifting with the movement, revealing love bites as stark on his throat as the tattoos inked on Sol's chest.
Those from your new boss too? I'm surprised his mouth was free for long enough to talk.
Sol tapped the side of his neck. Austin's free hand flew to the marks he'd noticed, his palm barely big enough to hide them.
Fuck, that looks more like a savaging than a love bite.
I didn't want... Austin recovered his composure, lowering his hand to grab a glass of red wine that sloshed before he gulped a mouthful.
I didn't call you to talk about that. It's none of your business.
He lifted his chin in a way that Sol had almost forgotten. Austin's degree could have been in defensiveness instead of management accounting. Besides, I'm sure you're seeing other people. Found a boyfriend yet, or a girlfriend this time? His eyes narrowed.
Or did you hook up with that old flame now you're back in Cornwall?
I don't have any old flames here. Apart from Jace Pascoe. His past whispered.
Huh?
Austin took another sip, his lips stained a deep garnet.
Not even that one you never got over?
I thought that was why you chose to move back there. Outside, another lone owl hooted.
It's too late for this, Austin.
Too late for point scoring. For revisiting confessions made before they'd got together that Austin hadn't ever forgotten. Too late for anything but getting to the reason for this phone call.
What did you call me for?
Austin pushed his hair back from his forehead, his eyes huge now that his face was so much thinner.
I looked you up on LinkedIn. Are you really still working at that boarding school?
Glen Harbour, yeah, why?
Austin emptied his glass. He wiped his mouth with the back of his hand and said, Because, setting aside the fact I'm amazed you're teaching when you topped the charts for introversion, I thought you might want to know that it's in trouble. The school, I mean.
He leaned forward and whispered, Big trouble. I'm not meant to tell anyone.
As though someone might overhear him. What kind of trouble?
Money.
Austin shrugged.
Same as lots of small private schools. They don't have strength in numbers like my new employer.
You're working for a school now?
Kind of, but not exactly. I'm still in accounting. The company that headhunted me has fingers in lots of school pies. I'm one step away from making junior partner.
He should have been happy about reaching that rung of the corporate ladder ahead of his own schedule. But Sol saw Austin worry at his lip.
That's how I heard about your school going under.
You should get out before it happens, Sol. I've emailed you the details of a vacancy at the school I'll be based in for a while.
In Cheltenham?
No, in Bristol. I'm here in a hotel until I find a place to rent.
He tried to sip from his glass again before realizing it was empty.
It's a nice city and a good school. Great exam results and zero tolerance for bad behaviour.
That was a dig Sol ignored. He wasn't about to move his nephew away from Cornwall again. Not after he'd already dragged him to live in London once before giving up and returning. And not when the last couple of years had been so rocky for him.
Plus, Glen Harbour was a busy school, hardly one on the brink of closure. His gaze snagged on his flickering light bulb and the water stains on the ceiling. Okay, so it could do with some investment, but it was hardly failing. His classes last year had been crowded. Too crowded for the pokey classroom he'd been allocated until this building was renovated. Bustling in a way that still made his soul twitch and wish for his old life working alone before... No. He wouldn't wish for a life before Cameron. Or for a life with Austin again. Although he didn't think that was why he'd called him.
Take a look at the job ad I've emailed you, Austin said.
Then froze as someone knocked on the door behind him. And there, right there, was more of that fragility Sol had noticed.
Austin glanced at the door and then turned back to his phone, both his eyes and his voice pleading.
Listen, I never told you I was sorry for giving you an ultimatum. Now I can see that I put you in a tough spot, gave you no choices but bad ones to pick from.
He glanced over his shoulder again before adding,
Read my email, will you?
Another knock landed on his door, harder this time. Austin ended the call without giving him time to answer, or to ask if Austin was okay. Sol sent a text to do that, and Austin pinged him back with a thumbs up. Sol cradled his phone for a long time, thinking. Then he pulled off his clothes and got into bed, the lateness of the hour tugging at him. Austin still filled his thoughts. It had been good, if strange, to see him. A laying of old ghosts, maybe. But as dawn streaked the gap between his curtains with pink, his thoughts circled back to one of Austin's questions. Or did you hook up with that old flame? Hook up with Jace Pascoe?
There's no chance, now he lives on the far side of the Atlantic.
Chapter 2
Sol woke to the sound of ringing the next morning in a much brighter bedroom. He grabbed for his phone, his eyes blurry. The words, Unknown Caller, coming into focus this time instead of Austin calling. The temptation to cancel the call was strong. A previous version of him would have dropped it without thinking, would have tossed the phone away and gone back to sleep to the drum and bass of London traffic. But lately, early morning wake-up calls often involved Cameron. He fumbled to accept it, but whoever had called rung off. Sol slumped back against his pillows, wondering if he should jog down to the boarder's house to check there wasn't a problem. No, Cameron will be fine. He won't even be out of bed yet. His gaze drifted to the door. Maybe I should get a head start on lesson planning before the staff meeting.
Back in London, preparing for work meant tying his hair back before settling down with a paintbrush or pencil. No need to roll out of bed before noon if painting all night had left his muse sleepy.
Noon.
A different bell rang at that thought, and he sat up alarmed and squinted at the sunlight that poked bright fingers through his curtains. Too bright for it to still be early morning.
Shit, the staff meeting, have I missed it?
A quick check of his phone said no, thank fuck. Not quite 11. Plenty of time to dig out a clean shirt and iron it.
Sol almost lay back, but his phone rang again.
He accepted the call right away, still half expecting it to be Austin again.
Yes?
Hello, a woman said brusquely. Am I speaking to Cameron's father?
Sol straightened. No, I'm his uncle.
Oh, you're the contact number he gave me. Listen, he's refusing to give me his full name or address. Do you have a number for his parents?
Sol did, but giving it out would be pointless.
No.
He swung out of bed, dragging on yesterday's clothes, with the phone wedged between his ear and shoulder, because he had a fair idea where this call was headed.
Who is this?
PCSO Davis.
The police.
Listen, the officer said. I don't want to take him down to the station, but I'm going to have to if a responsible adult can't tell me Cameron's full name and address.
I don't know about a responsible adult. Sol buttoned a creased shirt dotted with paint. But I am his legal guardian, Solomon Trebek. Same surname. And Cameron lives at Glen Harbour.
He almost said, with me.
But that wasn't exactly the truth now.
Is he okay?
Physically, yes.
Relief coursed through him.
Worry swiftly followed.
What's happened?
Let's discuss that in person. Are you local?
Yes, I...
He didn't get to say that he lived at the school too. She cut in first. Can you come down to the village shop then? The co-op, I'm parked outside. Or I can take him back to Glen Harbour.
Have a police car drive past the headmaster's office.
That's okay, I'll come to you. I'm leaving right now.
It was a 10-minute drive from the school to the co-op. Just enough time for Sol's campervan to stop coughing and for him to imagine 100 teen rebellion reasons for her phone call. Shoplifting, he guessed, pulling up next to a panda car. The police officer stood next to it with her arms crossed. He wound down a window, queasy with a mixture of protectiveness and worry.
Hi, how much do I owe for the two cans of Monster I found your nephew with?
The officer came to his open window.
Nothing, she admitted, taking off her hat,
which she wedged under an arm, sunlight finding glints of silver in her hair. She sounded less brusque, and her eyes crinkled at the corners in a way that begged him to sketch them.
He thought I picked him up for shoplifting, she asked.
Nope, he already paid for the drinks.
But the shopkeeper called us because his bag was clanking like he might have a few more hidden.
So he hasn't actually taken anything?
That's what he says, but for someone innocent, your nephew isn't exactly acting guilt-free. Won't voluntarily part with his rucksack. Arguably, I've good enough reason to take him down to the station and search it. But I'm long enough in the tooth to know that it's better to build bridges with kids, not knock them down.
She gave Sol a frank look.
I'm not convinced his bag is full of cans of Monster, though. Sounds like spray paint cans to me. Maybe you can think of why he's skulking around with a bag full of them.
Yes. Yes, Sol could. A long-forgotten memory of shouldering a similarly filled bag flared. Only he hadn't been on his own like Cameron. He'd been out with Jace Pascoe, having the best night of his whole life.
Sol got out of his van.
Listen, he's had a tough time lately, and he's only being a teen. There's no need to throw the book at him, is there?
What's his story? She asked. You're his guardian, because...
Sol stared at the ground, at the shop window, at the September sky, before meeting her eye and saying,
My sister can't look after him, and his dad's a waster who dropped off the face of the planet. My mum raised him from a baby.
until she couldn't. I'm all Cameron's got now. His voice came out roughly. I'll have a word with him.
Someone needs to, and soon.
She inclined her head towards the police car where Cameron's glare burned through the backseat window.
I know how much it costs to send a kid to Glen Arbor, and he boards there too.
Sol nodded.
You're wasting your cash on school fees if he gets a criminal record.
She wasn't to know that Sol's job came with a hefty school fees discount, or that Cameron had won an art scholarship to supplement it. Those were two out of the three reasons Sol had applied to teach there.
Still can't believe I'm a teacher.
He wouldn't be if not for Austin. Tagging a teaching certificate onto Sol's fine art degree had been his idea, and now Sol wished he'd thanked him. Without that piece of paper, he wasn't sure either of them would have made it as far as Cameron's 15th birthday. He followed the police officer to the panda car's back door. Cameron's glare didn't let up after she opened it, or when Sol reached for a bag he only reluctantly gave up. It did clank, the sound familiar. Sol moved away from the car and unzipped it, already knowing what he'd find inside. There were the cans of spray paint she'd predicted. Lots of them. All from the locked supply cupboard in his temporary art room.
I don't need to know what's in there this time,
the officer said quietly, deliberately looking away.
Had a 15-year-old myself once. If half of my son's bright ideas had panned out, he'd be in prison.
She met Sol's eye, a hint of sympathy in hers.
Hard to believe it, but he's a mortgage broker now and married with twin toddlers. Yours will get through this stage too if you set clear boundaries and pay him more attention.
Yours.
He's not my... Sol struggled to know how to end that sentence because Cameron was his responsibility for 3 more years at least. He loved every surly, uncommunicative inch of him. But right now, 18 seemed as far away as 80. He settled on saying, I haven't had him for long, and he didn't come with a handbook.
They don't.
That hint of sympathy deepened.
Expect a call from his social worker, Mr. Trebek. The system flagged their involvement as soon as I called in your surname. Getting a call or welfare check from them next is procedure for any kid in the system.
Yeah, I had a crash course in social services when I got him.
God, it sounded like he'd picked Cameron up from the dog's trust. Not taken him home from a funeral that had been a kick in the teeth to them both. He added a quiet, thank you, and meant it. Because if this had gone as far as an official search in a police station, it would have been a disaster. Sol would have had to tell his boss, and then... Sol pictured the headmaster's stern face, all flinty lines and acute angles. He didn't want to think about his reaction. No. This was a lucky break, no matter how darkly Cameron frowned at him.
Pay more attention to him,
the police officer repeated. Her words followed Sol on the drive back to the school, silent like his sulking passenger, until they drove past a sign welcoming them back to Glen Harbor. A place of safety, it read. A school where all children can flourish, no matter if life had bruised them. All children, apart from the man-sized one beside him, whose soul must be somehow failing. That truth dragged like a match against sandpaper. Sol's voice equally as raspy once he pulled up in the staff car park.
You gonna tell me what that was all about?
Cameron didn't answer.
Okay. Do you at least know what would have happened if she'd caught you using those paints?
Sol waited a beat. You'd have been charged with criminal damage. Cameron only grunted.
What was that? Sol asked. Did you say yes, Uncle Sol, and I'd have been expelled as well because you'd be right about that?
They wouldn't expel me,
Cameron muttered. You work here.
That doesn't mean the rules don't apply to you,
Sol's worry made him honest.
"You don't only have a staff discount spot here, you're a scholarship student, Cameron. If they take that scholarship away, no amount of discount will be enough to keep you here."
He clutched the steering wheel and took a deep breath, followed by another. Tried to steady his voice because without that staff discount and scholarship combo, the third reason he'd taken the job here would cave in. And that truly scared him. Stay calm. "So, what exactly were you going to do with the paints?" he asked, doing his best to keep his voice level. "Tag every wall in the village. There are more than enough cans in your bag for it."
"Paints that the school paid for, Cameron. Of course they'd expel you for stealing them, let alone for vandalism."
He tried to lighten his tone, keep Cameron engaged rather than switched off. "Who do you think you are anyway, Banksy? Or that other one you hero worship, Howley?"
"Howler," Cameron corrected. "And they aren't one person, they're an urban art collective,"
he said as if Sol was stupid in a way that turning 15 had perfected.
"The street artists I like are collaborators, not criminals like people make out. Banksy isn't either. All of their street art's got a message."
"Like what?"
"Like no more plastic in the ocean,"
Cameron bit back as if Sol had shouted instead of trying to keep their communication going.
"Or that climate change isn't coming too late, it's here already. We're trying to raise awareness to save the planet. Boomers don't want to hear it, so we've got to show them."
Had Sol been as righteous at the same age? "Probably," his conscience whispered. "But you were also busy having a Jace Pascoe-inspired bi-awakening, remember? And doing exactly what could get Cameron into so much trouble."
"Anyway," Cameron said, his tone as defensive as if he'd taken lessons from Austin. "You did it too when you were younger."
"Tag my name all over the village, I'm pretty sure I didn't."
"No, not tagging, street art," Cameron spat. "I heard you telling your boyfriend one night in your bedroom, so don't clutch your pearls too tight, will you?"
The police officer had told Sol to pay attention. But it sounded as if Cameron had been the one doing that instead. Sol wondered what else Cameron could have overheard him and Austin saying without their knowing. But the officer had also said to set boundaries. So he tried to find something, anything, that might make a lasting impression. "You like going to the surf club, don't you?" Cameron shrugged, saying nothing. But Sol noticed his grip on his seatbelt tighten, like that might help him hold on to the one activity he valued. "Didn't you say that Ed was thinking about trusting you with your own team of nippers?" Cameron had glowed with that news, shone with it. Now his face clouded.
"Yeah, so?"
"So do you think he will if he finds out that you're in trouble?" Cameron reacted as if Sol had thrown a match on petrol spilt between them. He blew up, yelling,
"I'm sorry Austin dumped you because of me. Sorry you had to leave London for Cornwall because of me too. And I'm sorry that you can't see that street art is better than anything you could ever paint."
He took a breath. And his next yells were louder.
"What's that saying, Uncle Sol? Those that can do, those that can't teach. No wonder you hate street artists."
He threw a grenade next.
"I don't even want to be here."
Pushed past his overstretched limit, Sol reacted without thinking of who might overhear him.
"And you think I do? That I'd want to work in a shitty classroom with shitty lighting if I had another option? My art building was meant to be renovated, but it's only good for demolition. I stick it out for you, Cameron. For your future. Because no matter how much you push me, I only want good things for you. Even if that means a few years without creating."
Besides, creativity took inspiration. And when was the last time he'd felt a sustained burst of that lately? "I haven't. I can't even paint someone I love as much as Cameron, even though I see him daily." He sucked in a breath, his chest tight. "Working here is regular money with most of your school fees covered, that's all." The third reason for choosing to work here poked at him. "And it's close to what's left of our family. You really think I'd be stuck here in the middle of nowhere if he had any other option?" Neither of them did. His emotion burned out.
but something like smoke lingered. Cameron's eyes gleamed as if it stung them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?